For our reading today, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Hebrews 12, verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, and now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are watching over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us, which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints, those who come from Italy, and send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. This was a little longer reading, but this last section is not going to take us an overabundance of time. But when we look back to chapter 12, verse 18, where we started, just remember that he has pointed out the position of Jesus, and he pointed out in verse 3 of chapter 12, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And so he brings this idea of everything that Jesus suffered, and then points out that we must share in sufferings, and also that we should not be surprised that as his disciples we might suffer the reproach of those that are in the world and those that have not chosen to follow Jesus. But we should not let that make us weary and make us give up. He also pointed out that we are to accept the discipline of the Lord as His sons. Otherwise, we would be illegitimate. And verse 15 of chapter 12, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Don't allow this to come between you and God. And then he makes the point about the sexually immoral or the unholy like Esau who sold his birthright, which if we give up our salvation, then we're doing something very similar, giving up that birthright as sons of God. So verse 18, we have not come to what may be touched. And talking about this scene that was at Mount Sinai and this idea of nothing touching the mountain or it would be killed, and such a terrifying sight, and even Moses said that he trembled with fear. Verse 22, but you, okay, contrasting, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. So now we're back to the idea of this is really something special that you've received. This is something special that is going on for you. And we don't have that spirit of fear that they had before. We have the spirit of confidence because we can approach that throne of grace through Jesus Christ. And he is the mediator of this new covenant. And talking about the blood that speaks to a better word than the blood of Abel. Verse 25, do not refuse him who is speaking if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. Okay, times past. Much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven, that is our Savior. And at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. And he explains this. Verse 27, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, things that have been made. That is, this creation that is around us, this world that we live, in order that the things that cannot be shaken, the things that are eternal, may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That this is an eternal kingdom that we're looking forward to and that which we receive. And so let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Then when he gets into verse 13, he starts giving them, you know, some closing remarks and closing thoughts before the letter is done. Let brotherly love continue. So we're no longer talking just about whether they would consider going back to Judaism. Now it's, you need to interact in this way. And I think back to previous remarks that the Hebrew writer has made regarding stirring one another up to love and good works, exhorting one another while it is called today. Now he says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. He's probably talking about those that are imprisoned for the faith. Verse 4, let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Again, these are just kind of running remarks for the closing of the letter. Verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Contentment is very important in the life of a Christian. Otherwise, our desires will overcome us, and we will succumb to the desires and lead us into sin. Verse 5 also, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will provide for us and we can trust him in that matter. Doesn't mean we'll have everything we want, but he will provide for us. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Here we're probably talking about those that previously taught them the word of God, perhaps even those that brought them to their moment of faith. And then he says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So observe their example and follow that same path. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not going to change. Nothing has changed. The promises haven't changed. The blood of Jesus hasn't changed. You know, Jesus is completely sufficient for us. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. He's probably talking about those Judaic traditions that were talking about different foods and rituals and festivals. Verse 10, we have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So he's talking about that sin sacrifice that would be taken outside the camp in order to keep it away from the people because of the unholiness of the sin come upon them. And he draws a conclusion with Jesus that we should go outside the camp where Jesus is and bear the reproach. That is outside of these people that would, you know, talk about acceptance. You know, as servants of Christ Jesus, we are going to suffer some reproach. Verse 14, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. That is that eternal kingdom, that eternal reward that we are seeking. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Now, he doesn't spend a lot of time explaining this point here, but I think it's one that we ought to spend a moment to think about, and that is that if we're really going to combat discontentment with the lot we have in life, whether that lot is the things that we endure as Christians or whether it is some circumstance that we find upon us, if we're going to combat discontentment with that, we need to focus our minds in the right places. So this idea, there through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That's where my mind is. My mind is on praising God. My mind is on sacrificing to him through my own life. You know, the sacrifice of my service to him, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Put your mind on the right things and battle that discontentment. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Sacrifices of your time, your resources, your energy. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are watching over your souls. That has to be those that would oversee. That would be your overseers, your elders, as those who will give an account, which they will. Elders do give an account for the work that they do. But let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. The number one thing that I would see as being groaning for an elder is trying to shepherd souls that don't want to be shepherded. They resist it everywhere along the way. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. Even though we don't know exactly who wrote the Hebrew letter, it's apparent that those who he did write to know him on a personal level, and that's what he's expressing. The last part of his letter, may the God of peace, who brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. You can take that personally. Jesus wants us to be equipped in the very same way that's being described here. He wants us to be able to work and to be able to do that which is pleasing in his sight and to give glory to him. Verse 22, his last thoughts, I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I've written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released. Some personal comments here. With whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. And that completes the book of Hebrews. Tomorrow we will start the book of James. So please come back then and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.